Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we've got a busy couple of weeks ahead of us, and we'll say a little bit more about that on the tail end of our episode. But we wanted to revisit, first of all, your really outstanding sermon from this past Sunday, Tomorrow's Prayer.
Tomorrow's Prayer came from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. And it also carried over to chapter 29, where the prayer is actually found. It's about David. And David was the king of Israel. He really wanted to build a temple, but because of so many battles and wars and bloodshed on his fingers, God would not allow that to take place. So God was going to allow his son Solomon to build the temple. And what is so impressive as you go through those verses and those chapters, you notice that God showed David he couldn't build a temple, but what he could do is build a son. And David made it easy for Solomon. He provided all the money, the tools, the resources, even detailed plans about what's to take place in that new temple. And all of that was just to kind of help his son out. So from that, we talked about our children and the roles we have as parents and where our kids are going to be in the future. And what we are doing as parents for our kids. As David understood, there was a time when he was no longer going to be around. What kind of man, what kind of character, what kind of heart would Solomon have? We got to think those same thoughts ourselves. And we can't wait till our child is 18 and walking out of the house. We got to begin when they're young and to instill the thoughts that we see from this great lesson from David and Solomon.
If you have not had the opportunity to go back and watch or listen to that sermon, of course, it's available at charlestownroad.org. But I wanted to highlight just one section of that sermon from 1 Chronicles 22, where you isolated five or six things that David did, steps that David took for his son Solomon to equip him, but also parallel those to modern parents and even grandparents. You said, first of all, David understood rightly where Solomon was. You took us back to 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, where David was willing to say, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. Roger, why do you think it is so important for us to appreciate, understand rightly where our children are and maybe what makes them unique, even from their own siblings?
Well, you know, when we think about that perspective, you know, how easy it would be for David to think, well, my son Solomon can do anything. Solomon is just get out of his way. But he understood. He understood his inexperience, his youthfulness. He was going to get in over his head real quickly if David didn't help him out. And so we have to understand our children that same way. We have to understand that when they first start driving, they're an inexperienced driver. We have to understand that they oftentimes are inexperienced in making big decisions in their lives. They need guidance and they need help. And this goes to such things as dating. Sometimes it's just whoever they're attracted to. That's the only thought. And they don't think about the heart or the character of the person. It goes to such things as picking out a school to go to after high school. Is it just a prestigious school, the school with a big name, big reputation, or is the school going to really help my child? And those concepts like that.
One of the things that really stands out to me as a father of three, and I know you can relate to this, it's remarkable to me. They can all three be raised by the same parents in the same sort of household, and yet each one of them be unique. I think one of the lessons that I drew out from that first point in your lesson was we need to appreciate different children have different personalities, different talents. They bring different things to opportunities and challenges. We need to appreciate each one as uniquely created in the image of God.
I remember there was a time when my kids were small and at home. My kids are all out, married, and have their own kids now. But there was a time when they were at home. My wife and I had gone out to eat, and we'd come back, and they were laying there watching TV, and there was laundry that could be put away. There's dishes, and you know. And I just said, guys, why don't you do this stuff? And they said, well, we didn't see it. So we had a wonderful little chit-chat about opening your eyes. And a few months later, we were out again. We came back home, and they were so surprised. They said, we had open eyes. And that's something you do as a parent. There's a lot of things that they'll do, but they just don't. How do you get them to see these things?
Valuable. And there's a big difference, obviously, between a child that is 16 and a child that is 6, right? Maybe you've got a span of ages in your home, and it's easy to think, at least it has been for me, well, the youngest one ought to understand and be motivated like and just act like the oldest one. It's not always the case. We need, number one, to understand rightly where our children are in life. We need to be honest with them, with ourselves. That leads us to number two. David encouraged Solomon. Why is encouragement from parents so important for little hearts?
And again, that just flies on the tail of the first point there. If you understand that you're young and inexperienced and your parents are just riding you like a drill sergeant, you just crush the spirit of that child. So you have to understand where that child's at in life, and then encourage them, build them up, let them know that what they're doing is right, and help them. Sometimes what they do is not the best job, but for their age, it's the best they can do, and you encourage them in that way. One mistake parents often make is comparing one child to another child, and you can never do that. They have different likes, they're wired differently, and we can get in a lot of trouble when we do that. But what we see from that chronicle passage is David encouraged Solomon, told him he could do these things. David made it easy for him, got him all the supplies and all the stuff he needed, but he still let him know that you're the one that's going to have to do this, and he built him up.
I appreciated that you had a point number two and a point number three. Your second point was David encouraged Solomon, but then point number three, he taught Solomon. What an important thing for parents to realize. We need to be encouraging cheerleaders of our children. We need to tell them that we believe in them and that they have great potential and they can do many things for God and for the people around them. But they also need to be taught. And so what do you think is the difference between being a cheerleader, a source of encouragement, but also a teacher?
Well, you know, the encourager, the child can already do things. You're just encouraging. You can do it. You're building them up. You know, you can finish this. The idea of teaching, here's something he doesn't know. He doesn't appreciate, and he doesn't know how to do it. So one is you're just kind of patting him on the back, keep going. The other is you're trying to get him going by showing him what to do. And in our lesson, we talked about two specific areas, but there's a big crop of other areas that we also need to talk about. We talked about respect for authority. That comes from the home. How they refer to mom and dad, the words they use, that reflect authority. And then the grandparents, and then the school teachers, and then the authorities in the government. And that's something they're going to see all their life. We've got a bunch of young ones here at our congregation that they'll refer to me as Mr. Roger or Sir. That's something we don't hear a lot today. They've been taught by mom and dad to respect. They've been taught not to interrupt. They've been taught to listen and follow the rules because rules are there for a reason.
We love having them in Bible classes, right? But Bible class is not the front line of teaching a little heart about authority, right? By the time they come into Bible class, we need moms and dads to already be teaching the importance of, if a teacher is in the room and you're in that teacher's classroom, you need to listen to the teacher. You need to follow the rules. You brought that out in your sermon.
And particularly throughout the first several chapters of the book of Proverbs, it's a father talking to a son, and the dominant thought through there is listen or heed to my instructions. I'm telling you about things. You don't have to make the same mistakes I made. You don't have to get your life in a mess like my life was in a mess. Listen to this. This will help you.
We've got, obviously, right now in our society, we're living in a strange time, and at many different occasions, if you want to go into a restaurant or a grocery store or a hardware store, that store is posting certain rules, right? That if you're going to go in there, these are the rules you expect, we expect you to follow. Could I just challenge moms and dads to realize that if your little children see you making a fuss about rules, maybe you don't agree with them, and maybe even you've got a good argument in your head as to why I think this rule is ridiculous. Well, you may have come to that conclusion in your head, but all that that little child is seeing is, here's a rule that mom or dad doesn't agree with, and I see how they're reacting, how they're interacting with other human beings. We need to be really careful, not just what we say, but how we live, the example we are setting for these little hearts.
And we've seen in the news, you know, people being escorted off airplanes because they refuse to wear a mask. As they're being escorted, here comes their little child right behind them. What a lesson that little child's learning. And the parents only thinking about themselves. Under this idea of teaching your child is going to learn about God. He's either going to learn it the right way through the Bible and through you, or he's going to learn the wrong way through a college professor. But he'll have an opinion about God. Your child's going to learn about the Bible, either the right way through the Bible and through you, or he'll hear that the Bible is just a bunch of stories through the years this man put together. He's going to learn about the church, either the right way through the Bible or through what his friends tell him. He's going to learn about marriage, either the correct way through you and the Bible, or just what a boyfriend or girlfriend will tell them. He's going to learn about responsibility, either through the Bible and through you, or else what he sees in society and in the movies. So there's powerful lessons that as we talk about character and heart, and that's what really David was dealing with Solomon, is building on his heart, that we need to see and appreciate that the role doesn't fall to the school, it doesn't fall to the church, it falls to moms and dads. And what a blessing. What a blessing you get to shape that heart for the future to make a difference.
I love how 1 Chronicles 22, verse 12, David says to Solomon specifically, "May the Lord grant you discretion and understanding." David is a teacher, but the greatest teacher of Solomon is the Lord, right? And it is David's prayer that the Lord would help Solomon grow in knowledge, grow in understanding, grow in discretion. That leads us to number four. David equipped Solomon. And I love how you have parsed all of these separately. He encouraged Solomon. You can do this. He taught Solomon, but it wasn't just a bunch of words. He did some equipping.
Now in our story, it's about building a temple. And so David contracted stonemasons. He had guys cutting timbers. He amassed a large amount of gold and silver and bronze. He had to basically what we'd say today, the blueprints drawn out, the details were all made. And so basically all Solomon had to do is just, let's go, guys. Everything was there for Solomon to do that. Now, we put that over to today, okay, your child. You need to equip your child with the tools to survive today, to think for himself. I remember growing up, spelling wasn't one of my fortes, and I'd ask my dad how to spell a word, and he'd say, "Well, go look it up." And I thought, "Well, how can I look it up if I don't know how to spell it?" You know, but what he's trying to teach me in that is think and sound it out. and look and dig, you know, how easy it is just to give the answer and I have learned nothing. But how important it is to be able to have the tools to say, okay, I've got to think for myself. I've got to, here's a problem before me. How would I solve this problem? Now, when you're young, they're young, they need help doing that. And you put before them the situation. Well, here's something that happened. You know, somebody got you upset at school. What are you going to do? Go punch them? Well, that's one option, but solution's not very good, is it? What's another option? What's another option? What would God want you to do? And you start getting them to think and to think and to think, and that's equipping our children for the future.
Could you ever have guessed in those days of looking things up in the dictionary that you would have written more than 2,600 jump starts at this point? That just shows you the power of being equipped, right? And bringing teaching to life, bringing it down to the level of our children. That yes, we gather together with Christians on Sundays. Yes, we have Bible classes, but we're going to talk about how this relates to your life on Mondays and Tuesdays. Young and old, we need help with that, right? That leads us to number five. David built a team around Solomon. Now, you mentioned earlier stonemasons and carpenters and all sorts of craftsmen. What sort of team can we build around our children today?
Before we get to that, you know, Solomon was given several leaders and commanders. David sat down with the commanders and the leaders, those who had been older than Solomon, but they were with David. They were David's counselors and such things, and he advised them to help. And so one of the bridges we see there is the idea of having your child learn to distinguish good hearts and bad hearts. Learn to distinguish the idea that sometimes it's not my peers where the best help's going to come from. It's going to come from a generation older than I am. It may come from people that you know, my friends would never go to, but I'm going to go to. I'm going to sit down and listen to a grandparent. I'm going to sit down with one of the shepherds in the congregation because these people have my best interest and they care for me. And again, all of us need help. That's why there is the church. That's why the Bible talks so much about encouragement. We get in situations that we need someone to kick us in the pants. We need someone to remind us. We need someone to encourage us. And that support system you have can either bring you closer to Jesus or it's going to take you away from the Lord.
Bible class teachers are a part of that team, right? Maybe young people who are just a few years older, if you intentionally get college-age students and high school students and junior high students at time, spending time together, all sorts of ways that support system within the life of a church family is built. So I have people my own age that I'm growing up with, but I have people at each step of the way ahead of me that I know their name. I know their story. I've spent time with them. And if I need help, I've got someone to talk to. Your last point that you brought up, and certainly not least of all, David prayed for Solomon.
And that's where the lesson took us to chapter 29 of Chronicles. And he has this long prayer, just honoring God. But then there's two verses where he really focuses upon Solomon and that God would direct his heart and God would guide him and that he would have a heart that wants to obey God. And so what we see in that is David was concerned about the character of Solomon. He's concerned about his heart. And as a parent, you know, we can do all these other steps, but we've left God out of the picture. We've got to pray daily for our children. You ought to say your child's name every single day in your prayer. And you ought to pray. Pray for their safety. Pray for their spiritual well-being. Pray for their mental well-being. These are tough times we live in. And David saw the importance of that. He didn't just get a bunch of hired hands and a construction team and say, Solomon, go at it. All these steps was to ensure that this was going to be done right and bring honor to God.
This father and son lived 3,000 years ago, And yet by God's design, we know their names, we know their story, we know the circumstances. Such great lessons for parents today. Understand rightly where your child is, encourage them, teach them, equip them, build a team around them, and pray for them every single day. It doesn't get much more practical than that on the parental side of things. Roger, for tonight, as we look a little ahead and to this weekend, we're excited for the conclusion of our summer series.
We have invited Shane Scott from Florida to come speak to us tonight. Our theme has been My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory, one of our hymns we love to sing. And his topic is I'll Rest in Your Endless Grace. Powerful lesson about the eternity we're going to have with God, heaven. We'll be meeting at 7 o'clock this evening. Love to have you come. It's been a great series. The series can all be found on our website as we've kind of loaded them there. And again, just a great speaker. Great opportunity for us to be together in these things.
This Sunday, I've got the privilege of preaching. We're still going to assemble 9:30 and 11 a.m., two separate services, both the same sermon. Now, you'll hear a little bit about an upcoming change in just a moment, but this Sunday, very similar to recent months, I'm going to be talking about keys to a successful campaign. There's a lot of campaigning going on right now, and I want to assure you from the very beginning, this isn't going to be about politics, but there is a powerful lesson from the life and the approach of Jesus that I think we need to learn. We need to adopt as his disciples. We need to remember. And I think that if we do a little bit of digging around in the life of Jesus, we'll learn some valuable lessons about the kingdom that we belong to. So this Sunday, keys to a successful campaign, but then Roger, the next several services is going to be a little different.
They are. So tonight, Wednesday evening, we'll be at the building. Shane Scott's preaching. The next Wednesday, and then the Wednesday after that, the next two Wednesdays after tonight.
First two Sunday or Wednesdays in September.
We are going to have no in-person in the building, but Jason and I are going to kick off a five-part series. The first two parts are going to be live-streamed, and we have some interactions that we're going to have you do. We'll talk about those in another occasion, another format to do that. But because of some construction at our building, we just cannot meet the next two Wednesdays. The third Wednesday after that, we're back in the building. And we'll be back in there on Wednesday nights, and we're going to continue our five-part series. This is based upon 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul was facing all kinds of things. He had gotten depressed and discouraged, and the statements made, there's troubles without and fears within. Inside and outside, he had troubles. And what better statement than what we're going through right now? And so we're going to be addressing some things along that line that we hope will be helpful, be personable to you. We look forward to being back together in 3 weeks, four weeks from today.
No, three.
Three. Three. I can't count, right?
It begins to get a little confusing.
It does. And one of the things we're looking forward to is interaction, letting the congregation talk, and some great things will happen.
Let me recap that there. Throughout September 2nd and 9th, we will be live streaming. We will be back in person September 16th, 23, and 30 for a five-part Wednesday night series. Roger, we're also excited to share that September 13th, in a couple of weeks, we're going to pivot back to services at 9:30 and 5 o'clock p.m. Those will be completely distinct services. Both you and I will have the opportunity to preach. All members of our church family are invited to both of those. That kicks off Sunday, September 13th. Don't stress if you're driving and you feel like this is the only time you're going to hear this. You're going to get sick of hearing about these details by the time we're done with you. But we wanted to put it on your radar. Business as usual tonight, Wednesday. Business as usual per the last couple of months this Sunday. But please stay tuned because we've got a variety of changes as we fight to get back to normal throughout the month of September.
And these will be on our website. They'll be in our bulletins. They'll be on all the screens at the church building. So, and if worse comes to worse, you just pick up the phone and call us.
There you go.
We'll walk you through this. But it will be very clear. We'll make it so clear that you can't miss it. But it's just steps we're taking. And taking steps, trying to get a little bit back to normal. And those, when we meet on the two services on September 13th, that will not be the same sermon. There'll be two different sermons. They'll be both live streamed, and we welcome you to come to both of them. It'll be good.
A lot of work, but I'll close with David's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 22, verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with you so that you may succeed. That's our prayer for you. That's the heart behind all of these efforts, that you would know the Lord, that you would walk in confidence that the Lord is with you, and that you would succeed in this journey of being heaven bound. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight. We're looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.